Welcome to the 12th episode of Farms Advice, where we cover everything agribusiness. On today's show, we have Angus Street from Auctions Plus, a young and ambitious CEO taking on the online livestock auctions to the next level. He is a cool-headed bloke raised on a farm, like many of our speakers have been. We've had a great time hearing about his journey and what he's curious about, and I'm sure you will too. Let's get into it. G'day Angus, how are you going?
Good, Jack. Thanks so much for having me.
No, excellent to have you on. I think you're our second CEO for the podcast, getting along.
Beautiful. I'd say I'd be pretty young CEO, so I still got plenty to learn, but feeling very fortunate to be in the role that I am, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got big shoes to fill there as head of Auctions Plus, a tech company within the ag industry. What's the outlook at the moment with COVID and coming through a drought?
Yeah, good question, Jack. Auctions Plus is, it's a really interesting place where we find ourselves. You know, the last spike of I guess, good seasons and fortunate prices was back in, 2016-17 when, the ag sector very much had, a great run of, as I said, seasons and prices. And Auctions Plus, during that time, definitely peaked and we saw absolute record numbers. The drought hit us in 18-19 and obviously what has happened is, as we received rain earlier in 2020, the prices have spiked and a lot of the restockers have jumped back into the market. And we saw the EYCI there jump to record numbers, the SLE jumped to record numbers and obviously Auctions Plus is a platform where you can access stock from all over Australia. And then, that's obviously on the buy side. And you're also accessing stock that, with specific details that you're chasing. So it could be, it could be genetics, it could be the feed that they've been on, whether they're weaned, or I guess the type of weaning production that occurred. The type of handling, you get breed specifics, you get weight, you get fat scores. So we collect, I think it's around 100 different data points. We have the option to witness 100 different data points on an individual animal basis. And for a buyer, that gives them confidence. On the sell side, you kind of sit there and you go, well, I want to access a huge market and maximize my competition after a couple of tough years. And I guess that's where we've seen the significant volume of stock that we've had over the past 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just opening yourself up to the national market as well.
Hugely, Jack. It's, I think our cattle numbers jumped 60% year on year this year. Our sheep numbers jumped, this is commercial, jumped 30% year on year. And that was definitely driven, I'd say more so by the season breaking as opposed to COVID, and the season's broken and people are wanting to access that national marketplace. We went from, at the end of last year with maybe 800 registered buyers in one of our sales to upwards of 1,500. So we've nearly doubled the number of buyers that we have access to, that sellers have access to. And with that, comes competition and comes maximum prices. So, a win-win for both buyers and sellers on that national marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the competition would play a big part on both buying and selling.
Yeah, and that's the power of an auction. The power of an auction is that you only need two people to be chasing the same article, and the market will look after itself. I guess obviously with auctions, you have to ride the market, the ups and downs, and there is some volatility there. But I think from our standpoint, to reduce that volatility, you're accessing that national market. So you're not restricting yourself to, the local set of sale yards that, on 1 week might a buyer might not turn up, and therefore the price might drop. And then another week, you know, a buyer might be short and the price spikes. So, yeah, look, I think we definitely smooth some volatility, but a power of an auction, you know, does have to ride the market.
Yeah, and also like the power in numbers of the people on your platform as well really helps both buyer and the seller, I suppose.
Huge. You know, we've had, it'd be something like a 40 or 50% increase just in the number of people hitting our website over the last 6 months. So again, you know, the number of eyeballs that stock are getting in front of is just phenomenal. And we feel really fortunate to be able to deliver the service, especially in a time of need, you know, with COVID. You know, I talk the seasonality driving our throughput numbers, but, you know, the opportunity to ensure that the livestock sector continues to, you know, maximize its opportunity during these tough COVID times. Yeah, we feel pretty fortunate to be able to have a service that meets the needs of the market.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like reimburses, like during COVID, your like Auction Plus platform really works well for these circumstances during the remote sales?
Yeah, it does. You know, we've been fortunate enough to be working with a number of physical sale yards, and we've expanded into those physical sale yards and are interfacing them to ensure that, you know, the local buyers still get an opportunity to participate. You know, the sale yards have had to reduce the attendance and limit it to professional buyers and livestock agents, and there's an opportunity there for us to support you know, local sale yards and provide them with a platform to
maximizing like the local sale yards, of course, and they can really benefit from a platform such as Auctions Plus. But before we before we get down into it, it'd be good just to see like a bit more into your background and how this will come through Auctions Plus and help out with their projects and the future of it. So can you just tell us a bit about your background, your education and where you've come from?
Yeah, definitely. So I grew up on a mixed farm in northern New South Wales. It's a family property. I'd be a fifth generation producer if I took it on, and we're just outside of Scone there, and I was fortunate enough to grow up there and then went to school in Sydney like so many of the country kids do, and ducked off to boarding school. Then from boarding school I took a year off overseas and kind of experienced life and learn about the big wide world. I came back and I failed my first university degree at Sydney University. I was doing ag science. I always knew that I wanted to, I guess, stay connected to the ag sector. We've still got the family property, but it's not, I guess, at an enterprise level where you can, it's big enough to support a family. And so I obviously would love to have taken it on, but you know, the economics don't necessarily work out. So I thought, well, I want to stay in the ag sector. I'll do ag science. And I have to say that I don't have a science brain, Jack, one bit, and I failed miserably. So after getting kicked out of ag science at Sydney Uni, I went up to Bond University and I did a business degree up there, and for the first time ever probably started to enjoy learning. I wasn't top of the class during my secondary years or even my early years. I think feedback from my teachers was to my parents was, oh, he's a lovely kid, great manners, but geez, he gets distracted. I'd have to say that's a fair kind of analysis until I really, I went to Bond University and did a double degree in business and commerce up there and just thrived, to be honest with you. And I ended up majoring in journalism, and I love the creativity and the freedom of writing. And so I started out as a journalist on the Gold Coast and then worked for News Limited in one of the local rags in Sydney. The GFC hit, and during the GFC, a number of roles, journalism roles, were made redundant. I was fortunate enough to keep mine, but the workload kind of just, you know, completely blew us up. And the real essence of journalism kind of was sucked out of it, to be honest with you. We were just almost copy-pasting press releases at some points just to fill papers, and that soul and that enjoyment wasn't there. And I then I had an urge to reconnect back to my roots, and it had always been there. I'd been living in Sydney for a number of years and going home to the family property, but I just was really missing that connection at a work level. A role came up at Meat and Livestock Australia, and I was lucky enough to get a communications coordinator role. I ended up working in the comms team for 3 years there, various different roles. Worked very closely with the team who was on the did the live export to Indonesia crisis management. So was a part of that from a producer engagement level. Learned a huge amount from two people, being Scott Hansen and Don Heatley, absolute heroes and I guess mentors of mine. They were the CEO or the MD and the chairman at the time. And from there, I wanted to kind of try something a little bit different. I'd done, I think it was 3.5, 4 years there. And I also probably, if I'm honest, found love. And in finding love, I needed to move to Melbourne. So I went to Melbourne. I worked in a marketing agency down there for 6 months. Again, working with a wonderful mentor, Jim Gall. So Jim's, I think, one of the founders of Red Handed Media, or Red Handed Communications, which focuses on rural and regional marketing. And then from there, I jumped into I realised that I was kind of being pigeonholed as communications and marketing specialist. And whilst I loved it, I was really missing that commercial kind of edge and that business kind of thinking. And so I took a role with Horticulture Innovation Australia as one of their portfolio managers, essentially managing the R&D investment for a couple of the port industries. During that time, I studied my MBA. I went over to China and did half of my MBA in China. So proposed to my wife and then snuck off a couple months later and did 8 months in Shanghai. So
did you take your wife with you?
I didn't. Lucky enough, she stuck with me. So that was a bit brave of me. But it definitely, again, set me up for success, kind of taking a bit of a leap of faith and her supporting me. And so during that time, I came back and worked for Hort Innovation and set up one of their co-investment funds, which was an Asian expansion investment fund. I also, on the side, funded a e-commerce platform that allowed us to sell their products straight to the Chinese consumer. So I founded that. And then through all of, I guess, my own business stuff, but also all of my travels, I came across a group that was expanding into, I guess, management consulting, a boutique management consulting firm. And there was an opportunity to set up a China office based in Sydney. So I did that for 8 months. And unfortunately, probably the culmination of working, you know, I'd say one baby born, another one on the way, running two of my own businesses, pouring any money back into those businesses, it kind of all came to a grinding halt in a pretty ugly way, to be honest with you, Jack. And it was a big learning curve for me. You know, I'd probably stuck too many irons in too many fires and burnt myself out. And it was around that time where I had to step away from both of those business opportunities, the one that I'd founded, and step away from that and sold out my percentage share, and also decided to, I guess, step down from the management consulting business, which I'd set up in Sydney. So, in doing that, it was a pretty stressful, I'd say, 3 months there, and I learned a hell of a lot. And around that time, I had a board meeting, and I was sitting, and Anna Spear, the former CEO of Auctions Plus, was on the board, and probably, you know, after a board meeting, half cut, I was having a bit of a sulk, and she called me a week later and said, "Hey, there's a, you know, we might have a gig for you, 6 month contract. Would you be interested?" And to be, I'd heard of Auctions Plus. I was aware of Auctions Plus, but I always knew it was kind of the darling of the ag tech sector. You know, it was the original ag tech story. But I hadn't been in the livestock sector for the past, oh, it'd be 6 years, six to eight years. So, but I guess I came in and I just fell into my groove. I felt like I was home from the first kind of day that I started at Auctions Plus. I don't know, that sounds a bit corny, but kind of the stars had aligned. You know, I loved technology. I had an e-commerce platform, you know, albeit between Australia and China, so I was a bit of a tech geek. It was a growing company, young staff. It was livestock, ag sector. It just, you know, the stars kind of aligned. And from there, I guess the rest is history, and was lucky enough to step into the shoes behind Anna 18 months ago, or nearly 2 years ago.
Absolutely. Well, I think, like, being a tech geek in ag is the new cool at the moment.
Yeah, it's an interesting, yeah, it is. It's interesting. You definitely need to understand and have an appreciation for technology. But I think what a lot of people underestimate is that the ag sector is still a very traditional sector. And as such, you still need to operate in quite a traditional way. You know, you can't rely on, you know, sexy, you know, Facebook retargeting, advertising. You know, you still need to, in some way, have face-to-face engagement and build those relationships to grow the business. So, and it doesn't, yes, it's sexy, but, you know, because the opportunities are there, but I wouldn't say they don't evolve as quickly as, you know, as potentially, you know, an FMCG or a mainstream consumer opportunity does. You know, it's make or break quite quickly in the consumer game or the retail game, whereas this is still a very traditional, slow-moving industry. And part of the reason is that you have some highly professional, absolutely meticulous clients. You know, their livelihood is down to, you know, millimeters of chemical that you put on plants, through to, you know, a millimeter of water in subsoil moisture. So, you know, you've got to be able to talk the lingo at a technology level, but also really sit down and understand the problems of the farmer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's no, like, quick shift transferring a traditional into digital, is it?
No quick shift. Definitely not. You got one chance, if I'm honest with you. You know, my father uses a saying, you know, never bullshit a bullshitter. And I think that's something that, you know, we've always stuck true to at Auctions Plus, is it's like, well, you know, a producer does not have, or anybody in the supply chain does not have the time to be sold bullshit. You know, it's have an open and honest conversation about what you can actually do, where you can add value. And if you can, it's highly likely that, you know, you'll have a relationship, and which therefore means you'll have a commercial relationship. So, you know, it's first getting over that hurdle of, you know, do I trust and like who I'm working with? Does it add value to each other's businesses? Then a commercial agreement is very easy to write.
Yeah, precisely. And just like bringing together more transparency, and then that's allowing the farmers to come on board and trust the platform more so.
Hugely, Jack. I think, you know, it's one thing that underpins not just technology, whether it be a, you know, hardware, you know, remote water monitoring, or whether it be digital mapping as a software, or, you know, farm management software, is the trust and the integrity of the business. You need to obviously have internal kind of the resources of the business need to have high integrity, need to be trustworthy, you know, and need to have a really solid set of values. That then builds the foundations for the technology you build. When it comes to Auctions Plus, trust and integrity is absolutely at the core of what we do, and even more so than any of the other software companies in the ag sector. And that's because, you know, we're dealing with $100,000 transactions every minute. So a seller needs to feel comfortable that they are maximizing their profit, and a buyer needs to feel comfortable that what they are bidding on will be delivered. So for us to, I guess, enhance and give confidence to that transaction, which, as I said, are a significant value transactions, we need to ensure that the technology and the service we provide is absolutely underpinned by integrity and trust.
Yeah, that's really excellent to see, like, that's getting built out at Auctions Plus, and even from your own background, of course. For, like, Auctions Plus, to stop, like, catfishing, I know, like, most farmers wouldn't be doing it, but we all want to make sure the quality's there. Have you, like, brought on anything else to, like, improve the quality? You said 100 data points for this?
Yeah, so we have third-party accredited assessors. And so those assessors go through a two-day training course. Those assessors are audited annually. Those assessors are benchmarked annually and provided levels. They are liable, I guess, for delivering the article that is marketed. So if for whatever reason, you know, you sell pink cows and purple turn up, well, the assessor clearly has incorrectly assessed the livestock. And yes, you know, we're dealing with live animals, and there are extenuating circumstances. But, you know, if you actually dive into the detail, 9 times out of 10, there's clearly a fault, or there is clearly an issue at hand, and you know it can be resolved. It could have been resolved, and either the buyer or seller wouldn't have had a bad experience. I have to say that over the last, you know, 5 years, I've focused on, you know, building up, you know, the skills of those assessors, weeding out any of the, I guess, poor performers, any of the dodgy assessors. You know, we regularly suspend, we regularly terminate assessor access, as well as buyer and seller access for not complying with our terms and conditions. So, yeah, look, there's definitely hard conversations to be had, but we sit true and connect at a local level and say, well, is this fair? and where does the issue and the fault kind of lie? And if we can't, I guess, support an outcome, then what's great is we have an arbitration committee, and that arbitration committee is a third party, again, is at arm's length of Auctions Plus. Depending on the case at hand, if it can't be resolved, then, you know, it's made up of either feedlotters, processors, level one assessors, professional buyers, sit on those arbitration committees, and that committee makes a final decision. So, yeah, look, in terms of underpinning the assessment and underpinning, I guess, the people who do the assessment, we feel very comfortable that, you know, we've got that credibility there and can maintain that trust. But we're always looking for, I guess, ways from a technology perspective to enhance that. So that can be better photos. A couple of years ago, we investigated 360 degree videos, whereby you could put a 360 degree photo or video camera in a paddock and the cattle run around you. Unfortunately, I guess the technology wasn't there for us to adopt that straight away, but that's still something that we look at. We're always, yeah, I guess we're looking at mounting, you know, at mounting cameras on the sides of cradles and crushed. We're working with a number of research projects at MLA to, I guess, that are specifically looking at objective livestock measurements, because the more that we can shift those data points from being subjective to objective, I guess, the more confidence the buyers are going to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just goes to show creating value for the supply chain and starting with the producers of those.
Yeah, I think that's where the heart and soul of the ag sector is at the producer level. One of my favorite, I guess, ways of thinking when we look to develop new technologies is it's quite simple, actually. It's will it save time, save money, or make money? And if it doesn't meet one of those three criteria, then we don't invest in it. Because at an absolute grassroots level, it's about profit and it's about time. And if we can enhance that equation for the producer, then we should always be able to add value.
Yeah, definitely. What about like stud stock for cattle and sheep within Australia? What's changed there for like sales for Auctions Plus?
Yeah. Great question, Jack. Yeah. Obviously, seed stock sales, you know, bull and ram and sales in particular have evolved, you know, particularly over the last 2 to 3 years. And I think we're going to see another wave of evolution, which is driven, unfortunately, by COVID, with spring selling season upon us, and Victoria, you know, very much on the brink of stage three and stage four restrictions. It's an unfortunate kind of two warships kind of coming together. So a number of studs who you know, their whole livelihood revolves around you know, one of the major sale days, one of their major sale day. A lot of them we're now looking at coming online. And I guess we're fortunate to have been able to deliver a product which can support those businesses. We, you know, we definitely, you know, at the early stages of COVID in March, we had one stud sale that called up 24 hours before, I think it was 48 hours before, sorry, and had said, look, I don't know what's going on with COVID. The goalposts keep moving. I'm just going to have to run this sale online. First time user, never thought that he would ever use Auctions Plus, let alone an online auction service.
Yeah.
However, he ran the sale. I think there was a higher average and, you know, a higher top price than last year. And yes, you know, the tailwinds of the season have been there to support that outcome. But here we have a producer who post the sale said, I don't think I'll ever run my bull sale without Auctions Plus or without an online service ever again. And we also bought him 2 to 3 new clients. So I think, again, it goes to that national marketplace. You know, not only are you building your brand from a stud perspective outside of the local network of buyers, the first step is building that brand, and then the second step is potentially picking up, you know, a couple of new buyers. And, you know, with the quality of photos and videos and the genetic information that is provided, buyers are looking for specific genetic traits and are more likely now to buy, or more comfortable now to buy online than having to go and see the animals physically. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think, like, touching on different producers are looking for different traits in their sheep or their cattle. So maybe someone in WA likes the stud up in Moree or something like that, and vice versa, rather than just within their local community.
That's exactly right. And decisions now are at a producer level, at a production level, are data driven. And genetics are part of that data mix. So if we can provide a platform where producers or buyers can get access to, you know, high quality data that helps support them make a production decision, then yeah, it's again beneficial to the supply chain.
Absolutely. What are the numbers of, like, what's the split between beef and sheep?
The numbers would probably be 50-50, to be honest with you, in terms of, commercial cattle. I think we did a nudge over 600,000 head last financial year. That was cattle. And sheep, we did about 3.4 million head. And then in terms of stud sales, 50-50 split.
Okay, that's interesting. I thought, like, maybe cattle would have been a bit higher.
Look, originally, computer-aided livestock marketing, which is Auctions Plus, was built for cattle. It was built for prime stock, actually. And so, yes, it definitely kind of has that legacy aspect to it. But fortunately and excitingly, a number of the sheep producers have picked it up and see value in it as well.
Yes, excellent. For yourself, like, what's in the pipeline for Auctions Plus? Is it building on these times of, like, maybe Corona, or even just to the impact of drought to lessen that for producers and also yourself?
Yeah, I think one thing we try not to do is change too quickly. You know, we understand that change is absolutely necessary, and it's more about evolution, not a revolution, for us. So in the pipeline is projects around, you know, transparency, data sharing, data decision tools, user profiles, similar to LinkedIn or Facebook. So the ability to kind of market your and provide additional materials outside of just the assessment. Data decision tools, where you can jump in and look at forecast prices and indices that we are creating. It's we're upgrading our buyer tools. We're upgrading our website, and we're looking at, I guess, different commodities in the livestock sector to offer the same service to. So, excitingly, we're looking at performance horses, in the equine space, as well as dairy down in Victoria. So, yeah, look, the opportunities and the technologies are scalable, but it's just around working with the people on the ground and making sure that we add value to the sectors and to the businesses that are within that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, sticking true to what you know, coming from beef, and then you're building out these products, but not moving too quickly, as you said. If it's not broken, don't fix it.
Correct. And at our core, and every will always be at our core, will be will be cattle and sheep, both commercial and the seed stock sectors. So we won't be moving too quickly, and we won't be looking to blow the system up to the Amazon of agriculture. We definitely have aspirations to be able to service the needs of multiple sectors within the ag sector and add value up and down the supply chain. But we also know that it takes time, and we know that it's a step-by-step process, and it's about the timing. And right now for us, it's around, with COVID, the pressure that is on the sector to keep trading. We want to deliver absolute excellent services for cattle, sheep, wool, machinery sales, and seed stock sales. So, a really, really exciting kind of short to medium term for us, but we're also developing plenty in the pipeline for a longer term vision.
Absolutely. I think that's fantastic to see you are building out and then you're not going too quick for yourselves and getting lost.
Yeah, definitely. It's about deciding what not to do. So there's competitors always popping up and keeping you on your toes, and there's technology issues. There's, again, no doubt there'll be more seasonal conditions that are thrown at us. So yes. What we just want to do is continue to deliver an A-grade service. If we deliver service and we look after the customer, we hope that the customer comes back. It's a pretty simple formula for us.
Yeah, that's it. For like Australia in rural and regional areas, internet can play a big part in success or no success of the internet being connected properly. Is this like a tough one to navigate for yourself as a farmer's trying to sell his stock and you've got like a camera team there for your online services?
Yeah, it's definitely a hindrance and a bit of a control factor, but I think there's some recent data and I can't remember the facts, I won't quote them, but essentially most people in rural and regional areas have a smartphone these days. So they might not have service at home, but when they duck into town, they'll get service there. The iPad is very much, and the iPhone are the major devices,
Yeah, the new notebook.
Correct. That's exactly right. So I'd say it's a concern, but it was probably more of a concern, I'd say 3 to 5 years ago. I think people know that, connectivity is an issue. Black spots are frustrating, but that, they also need to stay connected. So they kind of just change their habits. They might, they drive in on a Sunday morning to get their coffee and download their emails. So, I think people just change how they operate to ensure that they stay connected.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot more people are adopting or improving their own networks. So in the next few years, a bit of an exciting spot for Options Plus as we all become further connected.
Definitely, definitely. And I think one of the, I guess, longer term visions for us is that we'd be able to provide a, you know, that online community that where you can not only trade, but you can connect, communicate, share, you know, the stories of rural and regional Australia. So, you know, trading is underpins, you know, the agricultural sector, but what also is one of the major pillars and foundation points is that connectedness. So if we can, one of our longer term visions is if we can create a community, a digital community, whatever that looks like online, to allow those people to be connected, then yeah, that would be a pretty special place. And I think for us, that's definitely in the pipeline. But again, it's that, you know, there's a limitation there with connectivity at the moment, and there's also probably not an absolute need right now, but I can see there being one in the future, and that's really exciting for Auctions Plus, but also for the bush in general.
Yeah, absolutely. The bush loves that sense of community. We're distanced by kilometres, but definitely not by connectivity through these types of tools, of course.
Definitely. Look, and, you know, my mum still just, you know, chews off the phone, the landline. You know, we don't have phone service at home at the farm, and I was there on the weekend, and you know, she'd sit up with a cup of tea after dinner and talk to one of her girlfriends and just talk to all hours of the evening. And there's Dad, you know, we do have data, and there's Dad kind of reading the Sydney Morning Herald on his iPad. So yeah, I still think there is a bit of ways to go, but yeah, that connection piece and that sense of community is absolutely paramount. And if we can build that into our technology, not just us, but any other tech business, then I think, you know, you're definitely onto a winner.
Absolutely. And just as a tech company, it's exciting to see where Auctions Plus is going as a producer ourselves, but also as we try to improve agribusiness across Australia. For like agriculture, within the next 5 to 10 years, what are you most curious about? This could be for yourself or for Auctions Plus.
I'd say traceability and data. And I know that's probably been thrown around for, you know, years. But, you know, people have been talking about big data and data lakes, data pools and data mining. But I think the holy grail, and also a very elusive opportunity is the data that is being captured in agriculture, and how do we turn that into tools that drive profitability for businesses? Dad, again, I use him, you know, he's the amount of data that he's capturing is almost more than Auctions Plus.
Yeah.
But he's capturing it because he's told he needs to capture it, and he's captured it for 3 years. But when I sit down with him and kind of go, well, what are you using the data for? He's using it, but in quite rudimentary fashion. So, you know, to be able to, for him, to share that data with other producers, to benchmark, to put it all into a, you know, into a pool to actually expand it and give it more depth. That's where I think the power and the opportunity really lies to drive value. And obviously that data stuff links to traceability. You know, if you can tie all of those data points to a commodity, whatever it is, from the moment the seed's put in the ground to you know, an embryo is inseminated through AI, you know, if you can tie it from that to the point of manufacturing or processing, yeah, that would be pretty powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Knowing what to do with that data in the end. And also like collaborating with other producers as well. We're not in competition with them all the time. It's important that we can benchmark as an industry rather than individuals.
Definitely. And I think that's it. You know, I think there is definitely discussions around, you know, whose data is what, and we've got a long way to go. But, you know, collaboration is the fastest way to success, in my opinion. And I think, you know, if we can come up with some, I guess, if somebody can stitch it together in such a way where all parties along the value chain see value in sharing and connecting their data sources, then the accumulation of that value would far exceed, I guess, any potential risk. And again, they're very hero and halo type comments, but I do believe there is an opportunity there. It's a huge one and a huge barrier to overcome, but if we can do it, we will add real value to not just the producer, but all parts of the value chain.
Yeah, of course. And I think like also the consumer gains from these types of platforms, driving the quality and also that traceability. Consumers love that fact.
They do. They absolutely do, Jack. And I think, you know, data is around, there's production data and there's provenance data. And I think, you know, production data we have in spades and, you know, we can use and utilize, improve the utilization of it and the understanding of it. But if we can then stitch in that provenance data, well, again, it's a pretty powerful data set.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think like tying in everything your experience coming through and then joining Auctions Plus back to your roots and where you love to work, and always like staying curious for like producers and also for the technology coming through is like vitally important for ag today.
Hugely. You've just got to keep digging. You know, we have a internal model motto that you look short, but you play long. You look long, but you play short. You look long, but you play short. And, you know, you play what's in front of you, but you're always looking long. And that's that curiosity piece. You just got to keep digging, got to keep asking the question why. And sometimes there's a justifiable reason why, and you can leave it alone, but doesn't mean that you don't need to circle back to it and revisit it. So, yeah, I think, and it's also about evolution, not revolution. You know, it's incremental steps that add up and accumulate that add the real value to curiosity, not just kind of one big sweeping gesture. It's that continual, consistent, curious mind that will always deliver more.
That's it. Well, I think you tied that in excellently. For the podcast, we'll wrap it up there. I just got two more questions to ask. Of who would you like to hear on the Farms Advice podcast and why?
Who would I like to hear?
It could be from industry or an individual. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from, I guess, one of the major retailers, you know, Woolies, Coles, Audi, IGA, around how they value data and, I guess, production and provenance data and where they see it going.
Yeah, that would be quite cool to get them on just to see what their point of view is, of course, on the industry and how they improve through the data points.
Exactly. And obviously, you know, the data points are all aiming to add value to the end consumer, and they're the closest to the end consumer. So it would be interesting to see, to match what we think is valuable and what they actually know is valuable.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Well, that's excellent. Thank you very much for nominating that industry. I'll try to get in touch with a few of those. For anyone looking to get in touch, maybe with yourself, or just look into what Auctions Plus is about, how can they do this?
Yeah, shoot me an email, astreet@auctionsplus.com.au, or Google the office and call the office at any time. Love to get in contact, chat to anybody, hear feedback on this podcast, but also, I guess, on our business as well. We're always looking to evolve and improve.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us for the episode, Angus. It was excellent to have you on board and get to know a bit more about yourself and what's going on at Auctions Plus.
Thanks so much, Jack. Appreciate being here, and thank you.
Well, that concludes our 12th episode with Angus Street from Auctions Plus. Angus has an amazing way of thinking and how he's combining his knowledge of technology and bringing it into agribusinesses throughout Australia. Angus still believes that the face-to-face value is most important for the traditional industry of which agriculture is, to make steps towards a digital future. The team's motto of look long and play short captures just that. I'm excited to see how Auctions Plus can improve the livestock game over the next 10 years within agriculture. Reach out to Angus and the team. I'm sure they'll be happy to help you with your questions. Head to farmsadvice.com.au for the show notes and further resources. Follow us on social media at Farms Advice for further motivation to improve your agribusiness and some cracking photos. Tune in next week for everything agribusiness. Cheers.